Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Chaf. Thank the Lupin Foundation for a sponsorship of the daf. Daf as long as Zech Nishmas Libik Aviela Bashmuel. When you test them at Bay, Zevad Ivri. Zevad Ivri has been the topic of discussion for the last week. The Gemara in Yedalim and Bay's opened up the Mishnah, which talked about the way to be Konan Zevad Ivri and the way the Zevad Ivri is Konan himself. Incorporated in Zevad Ivri is also the Amma Ivriya. The Amma Ivriya, which is mentioned both in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Re'e. So the Amma Ivriya is also a form of an Eved Ivri. She is an Eved Ivri. And she's sold by the father, and she works. And we are going to be just speaking today regarding some halachas regarding the Amma Ivriya. The Torah says, Ki sikne Eved Ivri sheshanim yavod avashvi yitzilachavshi chinam. So the... moving along. V'chiyim koreishas bitol ama. There we go. First only in the parshas Mishpatim. V'chiyim koreish bitol ama lo seifteket seifavadim imra b'nei adana shalo yada v'hefda. So if she is ra b'nei adana, she's just, there's no sparks there between her and her owner, and he doesn't do yid. And as we've been discussing these past couple of days, yid is a form of kiddushin, and she's redeemed. So la'am nachri lo yimshal amachu b'vig daba. So he can't la'am nachri lo yimshal. He can't give him to an outsider the b'vig daba. And if you remember yesterday's daf, we went over a couple of explanations in the Gemara exactly what b'vig daba means. Either it means a beged or it means the begida, means a rebellion. V'imliv no yadana k'mishpat abanot yasala. Now what if he gives them? What if the owner gives her the amma ivriya over to his son? So the Torah says it's fine. K'mishpat abanot yasala. So then you follow mishpat abanot, meaning it's now. It's a full-fledged marriage. Now, if somebody else takes her for marriage, so then the definition of marriage is sherek susav onasa, the responsibility that a husband has to his wife, he cannot take away from her. That is the psukim regarding the Amma Ivriya. In the Gemara, we find ourselves on Yitzhak Beis. We are more than halfway down. Tanyirach. We're starting today with the word Tanyirach. It's about 2/3 of the way down. The opening line of the Gemara is La Lach Shloshim Yom Kamash Malan. Okay, now remember we saw yesterday a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Exactly the Kesef Yud. What exactly is the Kesef Yud? So the Tanakam's position was very simple. The Kesef Mikneh. The Kesef Mikneh is the Kesef Yud. It's one and the same. Meaning that the obviously the owner purchased her with money, and so the so purchasing her with money, so that's Kesef Mikna. So later on, that will convert into Kesef Yud or Kesef Kiddushin. That's it, meaning there doesn't have to be a new Nesina. And according to the Tanakhama, that also means that the Kiddushin was retroactive to the time where he bought her. So that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says, no. The simplest way to say Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, which although the Gemara quoted an opinion of an Amor yesterday who didn't agree with this, but the simplest way to say it is that she's going to be redeeming herself with the residual value. She has a residual value at this point in time. So whatever that residual value is, that's what she's going to be. That's what she's going to be kona with. Okay. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes now another braisa. So let's say the man goes over to another man and says, look, I'm gonna be mocha you, my daughter, and we're just not going to follow the basic rules of the Torah in that yud will not be an option. Let's stipulate that right now. So you'll marry my daughter, you'll buy her, but marriage will not be an option. So lefi Rav Meir, so that's fine. Meaning a person can make such a tanai, and it's kind of a tanai, and the tanai is going to be sustained. Okay. And according to the Chachamim, no, you can't do that. You cannot recondition the Torah. The Torah says that the purchase is supposed to eventually lead to marriage. And you cannot make a tanai in any other direction. So according to the Chachamim, it's just simply not going to work. It's simply not an effective tanai. And as we see time and again throughout Shas, what that means is that the sale is still a sale. In other words, it didn't validate the sale. The sale is still a valid sale. It just happens to be that the tanai, since it's going against that which the Torah states, is simply going to be disregarded. Now, What comes out over here is that as we line up our sheets, we have Rav Meir saying that a person can be Masna Masha Katsa B'Torah, and according to the Chochamim, a person cannot be Masna Masha Katsa B'Torah, and the Gemara says, and that is problematic based on what we know elsewhere. Ule Rav Meir, to now come, Tanya, Omer Li Sharei HaMekudeshah Sinei HaMenashe In Lecha Alai, Sheir Ksus Vona, HaRezim HaMekudeshah V'Tanah Batol, Div Rav Meir. And meanwhile, let's say a man goes over to a woman and says, look, marriage, no problem at all. We'll get married. But you know what? I know that there's responsibilities in marriage. I'm just not ready for those responsibilities. So it's an interesting guy. He's ready for marriage, just not for the responsibilities of marriage. Okay. Again, without doing the survey, and you know, and just giving a guesstimate, that's most guys. Yeah, that's your average guy. So the, but meanwhile, that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says marriage is shirk sasvona. You have to support her and provide. The, shir and ksus, if you look at Rashi and the Psukim, I mean, we should know this now, especially as we're about to make a distinction between Sheir Ksus and Ona. So if you look at Rashi and the Psukim, although this is a Gemara in Ksuvos, and the Gemara in Ksuvos has a machlok, is exactly what the definitions are. But right now, let's just say it nice and simple. The Sheir is a mizonos, he has to feed her. Ksus is clothing, and Ona is Tashmish Amita. So those are the basic responsibilities that a husband has to his wife. So if a man says over to goes over to a woman and says, I'll marry you, but without those responsibilities, so Rav Meir says the marriage is a marriage, and it's tanaim get thrown right out the window because you're being masna al mashe katsa b'Torah. The Torah says very clearly this is what goes into a marriage. You can't reprogram the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Davar Shemamun Tanau Kayim. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if it has to do with something which is monetary in nature, so then you can reprogram the Torah. But if it doesn't, if it's not connected to money, so then you cannot reprogram that which is in the Torah. And if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says that according to Rav Yehuda, what distinction are we making? The distinction is between Sheir Ksus versus Ona. Rashi, I'll find it. Davar Sheba Mamon. Yeah, it's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Rashi right, B'davar Sheba Mamon, Denita Lemechila, Havitanao Kayim. Look, when it comes to Mamon, we can always be Mocha Mamon. Right, you owe me money. I can be mochel. You don't owe me the money. So when even if the Torah dictates that there's a certain financial responsibility, but if the two parties are in agreement, so therefore they could waive the financial responsibility. Aval ona ditzara degufo hu lo is yaiv lemechila. But Rashi points out that obviously won't help for ona. Ona is not a chi of mamon. Ona is a chi of aguf, and so therefore that's something that cannot be nimchel. But anyway, that sheet is Rav Yehuda. What comes out according to this bright says that Rav Meir says a person cannot be masna shab masha kasa b'Torah. And so now what we have is called a stira. Rav Meir says that when it comes to the Amma Ivriya, if a man wants to sell his daughter and say, I'm selling her to her, but with no option of yud. So Rav Meir in the previous price says, fine, that's okay. Even though the Torah says there needs to be an option of yud, but it's okay. A person can make such a tanai. And over here, in terms of the basic marriage and marriage responsibilities, a person cannot reprogram that which the Torah says. And ainah demasna masha kasa b'Torah. Okay, so we have a steer. Amar chizkia shani hacha damakra le'ama pamim she'enu mokra ela le'ama bilvad. So the answer the Gemara gives. Credit goes to Chizkiah. The answer is that the default setting of Rav Meir is Ein Adamasna Mashakaza B'Torah. You cannot reprogram that which the Torah says. Even when it comes to monetary law, you can't reprogram that which the Torah says. And over here, the difference is that this, in this case of Ami Ivriya, Gzera Sakasov. This is an exception to the rule where the Torah does make an allowance for the sale of one's daughter, even though it won't result in marriage. The Torah says the word Amma, the Torah repeats the word Amma, so the fact that the Torah says it tells us that the sale could be just for the purpose of Amma. Now, according to the Chachamim, we obviously disagree with Rav Meir. So what do they do with the word Amma? So the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, the Torah needs to teach me the word Amma to tell me that I can sell her to psulim, to people who are people who cannot marry her. So for Rashi says, for example, mamzer v'nisin she'en rashal liya'ed v'en nimkeres lehem el shifchas bavad. So let's say I'm selling them to a family of mamzerim. saying it very, very clinically. In other words, they are literally mamzerim. So now, what's going to happen? So they're going to buy the daughter, and they're going to employ her, and they can't marry her. Now it's mamzerus, which means kedushin is tofes. So, but still, in other words, but the halacha is obviously cannot marry. So the Gemara says that's what the Chachamim are going to do with the word ama, coming to teach us that you can sell your daughter to somebody who she cannot marry. Now, the Gemara says really it's a kavachomer. So if you can be mekasher to psulim, now again, you're not allowed to. And the Torah says it's a lav. But it's a lav, which means that there's tfisas kedushin. So if there's be tfisas kedushin for psulim, so lo yimkaren lo psulim. So the Gemara says, so therefore, why would I have needed a drasha? It's obvious. It's logical. If a man can be Mekadosh apostle, a man can sell his daughter to apostle as well. So, which by the way, won't necessarily result in marriage. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ala Mekadosh lepsulim shekena adam Mekadosh bito kishinara yim karen lepsulim shekena adam ocheres bito kishinara." So the Gemara says, "Not so fast. Don't be so quick to jump to that conclusion, because when it comes to kiddushin, a father can accept kiddushin for his daughter, not only while she's a katana, but while she's a nara as well. So therefore, you see that when it comes to kiddushin, the father has a certain extension that he doesn't have by mechira. Mechira, a father can only sell his daughter while she's a katana, not while she's a nara. So therefore, the kavachomer is not really a good kavachomer. So tamar lo malama, malamin shemor chulapsulim. So that's why I need a drasha. The kavachomer by itself is not sufficient. The drasha that comes to teach me now that a man could sell his daughter, even though the sale is going towards people who are mamzerim, and or anyone that she's not allowed to marry, even though the kedushin would be tofes. Rabbi Elazar Amar Melamed Shemachul Lepsul Makre Kvar Nemar Imra'a Beinei Adoneha. Rabbi Elazar says, let's go one step further. We already knew that a man could sell his daughter to psulim because the Torah says Imra'a Beinei Adoneha. If it's bad in the eyes of her master, Shira'a Benisueha. What does that mean? Bad. You know, bad, good. Meaning, the Torah over here is not really speaking emotionally. The Torah is speaking over here in terms of halacha. Halachically bad. What does that mean? It means that she was sold to somebody who she's not allowed to marry. So already the Torah addresses the scenario in which she was being sold to somebody she's not allowed to marry. So now that I have that established, so now there has got to be another chiddush on top of that. Matam alam alama, malam shemachor lekrovim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The chiddush will go one step further, and that is that you can sell her even to a relative. Now, a relative, that's arayus. So aside from the fact you're not allowed to marry Nerva, there's no tfisas kedushin. So it really goes even one step further, according to Rabbi Eliezer. You could sell your daughter even to a relative. And now, once again, the Gemara tries the kavachomer. Well, you can sell her to psulim, so you can't sell her to krovim. Meaning, let's think this through. You're allowed to sell your daughter to a mamzer. You can't sell it to your brother? In other words, it's right. Shouldn't it stand to reason? Yes, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Malam ochel lepsulim shimratzel yad miayid." So the Gemara says, "Well, that's not a good kavachomer. You sell it to apostle, so yid could be done." Now, again, just to be clear, it shouldn't be done. It's not sanctioned, but at least it's toface. Yim karen lekrovim shimratzel yad and miayid. But you sell it to a family member, yid is not even open for discussion. It's not an option. So the Gemara says, "So the kavachomer is not going to be a good one." I'm a So, okay, fine. So we don't have a kavachomer. We have a drasha, and the drasha tells us that you could sell it to a karov. Period. Okay, so what do we have right now? So we have a machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not you could be masna mashakaza b'torah. Rav Meir's general shita throughout Shas is that ain't other masna mashakaza b'torah. You cannot reprogram the Torah. The Torah says one thing, you have to follow the Torah. To make a condition otherwise renders the condition totally invalid. The transaction will be effective, the condition will be invalid. And the only notable exception for a mayor is Ama Ivriya, where the Torah does allow a dispensation that if you want to sell your daughter with the stipulation that yield is not going to be an option, according to a mayor, that works. Okay, that sheet does Rav Meir. Where do the Chachamim stand on this issue? The Chachamim say, no, we already knew that a person can make such a Tanai. According to the Chachamim, You can't, according to the Chachamim, you cannot sell your daughter for making such a stipulation. Now, according to the Chachamim, what do we do with the extra word of Amma? Because according to Rav Meir, that's the source, according to Rav Meir, that tells me that you're allowed to do this. According to the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to do this, what do you do with the extra word Amma? Answer, varying degrees, but basically, you're allowed to sell it to someone who either she shouldn't marry, or you're allowed to sell it to somebody that she can't marry. That's the chiddush in the word Amma. Okay, two different opinions amongst the Tanaim, exactly how far we could take this. But either you could sell it to a mamzer nesin, someone she shouldn't marry, or you could sell it to a karev, someone she can't marry. Now, for a mer lepsulim nafkalei mehech de nafkalei l'rev lazer bekrovim. So the Gemara says, now what about Rav Meir? Now Rav Meir, where does he learn the allowance that you're allowed to sell a one's daughter to a pasul? So he learns it from the same place that Rav Lazer learns krovim. Savala karabban and damri ein mocher lekrovim. And he's of the opinion, and to just finish up Rav Meir Shita, Rav Meir allows to sell one's daughter to a pasul, but does not allow us to sell one's daughter to a karov. So therefore, Rav Meir Shita is going to be that you can be masna mashikasa b'torah based on the word Amma. You can sell her to a pasul, not based on the word Amma, but based on the same drasha that Rabbi Lazar taught us, imra'a be'inei adoneha. And then you, according to Rav Meir, you can't sell her to a Karov. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of this discussion. The Gemara has one final point to make. One Bryce teaches that you could sell her to your daughter, to your father, but you cannot sell her to your son. And according to another Bryce, you cannot sell your daughter neither to your father nor to your son. Now, as far as the second brisa is concerned, second brisa is glot. It's good. Because the second brisa says you can't sell it to a relative because the second brisa subscribes to the viewpoint of the Chachamim, which says that you're not allowed to be mocher bito to a karov. So that's fine. But that first brisa, however, is not glot. Because the first brisa says that you can sell it to you can sell it to the father, you can sell it to your father, but you can't sell it to your son. Well, which one is it? Meaning either you hold like the Chachamim or you don't hold like the Chachamim. Either you hold that you're allowed to sell it to a relative or you're not allowed to sell it to a relative. But what's the split decision over here? So the Gemara says, La'olam ki Rabbanan, mod Rabbanan hecha di'ikat tzadiyin. So the Gemara says, well, really, fundamentally, you hold like the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to sell to a Karov, and even though that's true, but as long as there's tzad yid, so then it would be okay. What does that mean? So as Rashi explains over here, let's say you sell your daughter to your father. Now again, okay, father cannot marry her, right? It's his granddaughter. Okay, this is such a strange family dynamic, admittedly. But again, we are deep into the sugya of Mechiras Abbas. So you sell your daughter to your father, so he can't marry her. Okay, but the Torah allows one of two people to marry her, either the Adon or the son of the Adon. Now, obviously, he's one of the sons of the Adon. He's obviously not open up for the eligibility of marrying her. It's his own daughter. But let's say his father had another son, or to him, what would be a brother. Now you understand. So here, it's an uncle to his daughter. Oh, that's fine. The Torah allows an uncle to marry his niece. Not only does the Torah allow it, the Gemara in Yavama says it's good. It's good. It's good for an uncle to marry his niece. A discussion in the Rishonim, whether it's your brother's daughter or your sister's daughter. But the Gemara makes it sound like it's your sister's daughter. Our Gemara makes it sound like it's your brother's daughter. Anyway, a discussion. But now it's a niece. Oh, so the Gemara says that's why it's okay. Meaning, if you could sell your daughter to somebody, even though he himself can't marry her, but the son of said person can marry her, so then it would be fine. That's what the second brisa means. Second brisa allows for the sale of the daughter to his father, because even though he can't marry her, but his son, his other son, is allowed to marry her. That's the pshat in the second brisa. It's his uncle. Good. That's good. Uncle's fine. Uncle's the erva that's allowed, right? Mordechai and Esther. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Imagapo yavo begapo yetze. Okay. We're backing up. We're still in Parshas Mishpatim, but we're going back to the Eved Ivri. Our Eved Ivri, the Torah has a strange formulation. It's the third pasuk in the Parshan, Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah says, "Ve'elam Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneihem Ki Signe Eved Ivri." So the you buy yourself an Eved Ivri, Sheishanim Yavod. So he works for 6 years. Uvashivi Yisayitzel Chavshi Chinam, and the seventh year he goes free. Okay, this is, and as we already discussed time and again, this is Nimkar Bebezdin, right? He stole, Bezdin sold him, and he's now working for 6 years. And then Pasuk Gimel is a hard pasuk to translate. Im begapo yavo, begapo yetze. Im bali shahu v'yatsa ishta imo. What does that mean? So if you already learned the Torah, and you already learned Chumash on the Torah, so you already know one of the opinions that's coming up in the Gemara. The other opinion you may not know or remember. Tanu Rabbanan, name begapo yavo begapo yetze begufo nechnas begufo yetze. So first, the opinion of the Tanakama, he goes in with his body, he leaves with his body. At this point in time, there's no expectation that we're supposed to understand what the Tanakama is saying, but he's saying something. He's saying a pshat in the Torah. Stay tuned. We're going to explain what the Tanakama meant. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer yechidi nechnas yechidi yetze. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you go in alone, you go out alone. And at this point in time, again, if you already learned Rashi and Chumash, so you have an inkling as to what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. But if you don't know Rashi and Chumash, so then you're also kind of stuck. Like, what is he saying? So the Gemara is going to explain each one of these shitas. My begufa nechnas begufa yetze. So first, we're going to deal with the opinion of the Tanakama. What is he talking about? What does he mean? So Amar Rava Lomar she'enu yotze berashi evarim ke'eved. So the halacha goes like this. When you have an Eved Kanani, not an Eved Ivri. When you have an Eved Kanani and you knock off one of the Rashi Evarim, you knock off an eye, a tooth, an extremity, so he goes free. Right? We constant the owner of the Eved Kanani, and he go and the Eved Kanani goes free. He's Yotzel Echeros, Barashi Prakim, with knocking out any one of the extremities. Eved Ivri does not go free. That's what the Torah means. Eino yotze b'rosh evarim ke'eved. We do not treat him like an Eved Kanani. He does not go free. What happens if you knock out a tooth or an eye or a limb? What happens is nezek. We fall back to the regular rules of what happens when someone damages another person. The Torah in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, where that's coming up. Next Masechta is going to discuss in detail exactly how you assess those damages and you have to pay. And Eved Ivri, he's a Jew. You knocked out the tooth of a Jew, you got to pay for it. So, Amalei Abaye Omelo Teitzei Ketzeis Avadim Nafka. So the Gemara says, wait one second, I already knew that. The Torah says that he's not to leave Ketzeis Avadim like an Eved Kanani were to leave. Meaning the Torah already registered that as a halacha. Why do I need another pasuk to teach me basically the same point? Gemara says, no. If all I had was Lo Seitzei Ketzeis Avadim, here's what I would have thought. I might have thought that, let's say you knock out an eye. Okay, maybe what the Torah now expects you to do is as follows. Number one, pay for the eye. Okay, in other words, nezek. Number two, you know what? On top of that, you mistreated him, he goes free. And Eved Kanani would go free, and Eved Ivri should go free as well. That's what I would have thought if all I had was the pasuk of Lo Seitze Ketzeis Avadim. Kamash Malan. So therefore the Chiddush is that no, that the only way he's going to be treated is like a Jew. Meaning, not like an Eved Kanani Bechlal. So if you knock out a tooth, you knock out an eye, you knock out an extremity, you pay for it like you would if you knocked out any other person. It happens to be that he's employed by you, but he's not an Eved Kanani, and he's not going to go free. So that is now explanation number one in the Pasuk of Im Begapo Yavo Begapo Yetze. It means that not unlike an Eved Kanani who goes free with the knocking out an extremity. Over here, what it means is that he's not gonna leave like an Eved Kanani. You pay for the damages you do. That'll be an option, but correct.
Because he cannot work anymore.
Okay, that right, but that, in other words, he'll do other jobs. Okay. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Yechidi Nichnas Yechidi Yetzei. And according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he said a different pshat in the pasuk, and that is he goes a single man, he leaves a single man. And again, if you know Rashi and Chumash, you know what's coming up. Ma Yechidi Yetzei, Am Rav Nachma Yitzchak Achi Kamar. Yesh lo isha banim, Rabba Moser lo Shivcha Kenanis. Ein lo isha uvanim, Ein Rabba Moser lo Shivcha Kenanis. And here's the halacha when it comes to an Eved Ivri. If an Eved Ivri comes into your employment and he comes in married. So if he comes in married, so what you're now allowed to do is give him a Shivcha Kenanis. It's not marriage. We've discussed this already a number of times. It can't be marriage. She's not a Shivcha Kenanis is not a full-fledged Jew. So, but what you're going to do is you're going to give him a Shivcha Kenanis. They're going to have children, and those children are going to be more avadim for the owner. That is what the Torah means in Begapo Yavo Begapo Yetze. Meaning, if he's married, you can give her Shivcha Kenanis. But if he comes in Yechidi, he has to leave Yechidi as well. Meaning, if he comes in by himself, so then you cannot give him a Shivcha Kenanis. Now, the Gemara does not express why. I heard a beautiful pshat. Why should it make a difference whether he's married or whether he's not married? So I think credit goes to the Chizkuni. You're not going to see this in the, you know, in the more classic Mefarshim, but the Chizkuni says because if he's married as an Eved Ivri, so he understands what it means to have a Jewish wife. And so therefore the allowance of giving him a Shivcha Kenanis, he's not going to think that this is marriage. Because he knows what marriage is. He's married. So it won't confuse him. But if he comes in a single man and you give him a Shivcha Kenanis, so what does he know about marriage? So he's going to think, oh, this is my wife. And so he'll be confused and he'll think it's his wife. So that explains the difference between whether he's single, whether he comes in single, or whether he comes in married. Okay, so the back to our Gemara. So Tan Rabbanan. Okay. Next, Nimkar b'manav v'hishbiach v'aman amasayim. Okay. Fluctuation of price. Where, in other words, an Eved Ivri is purchased based on a market value. Now, we know the markets. Markets go up, markets go down. And it's true by all commodities, and it's true even by an Eved Ivri. Meaning, again, it's a contractual employment, but you're buying the contract at the front end. And the price established is going to be set at the front end. And so now, how does he go free? So he goes free based on a redemption, based on what the residual value is. And so now, simple question of economics, when we're deciding the residual value, are we looking at the residual value based on the original market sale, or do we look at the residual value based on current market prices? Okay, and what if, in other words, if there's no fluctuation in price, so then there's nothing to talk about. But what if there was a fluctuation of price? So then what do we look at? And the corollary question, which the Gemara is going to deal with, is do we have one consistent viewpoint of either the original market sale price or its current value or its current residual value, or does that itself also shift based on whether it went up or whether it went down? Tana Rabbanan, that is all going to be discussed right now in the Gemara, right in the middle of Chaf Amad Aleph, the beginning of the line. Tana Rabbanan Nimka b'mana v'yishbech v'aman amasayim. Let's say he was sold for a mana. Okay, so at the time of the sale, so the value was a mana, and then yishbech amasayim, and then now the market demands that if you want to buy an Eved Ivri nowadays, you need 200. So minayin she mechashron lo ela al mana. So now he wants to buy himself out of the contract. So what are we prorating? Are we going to prorate 100? Are we going to prorate 200? Makes a huge difference. So shenamar mikesef miknaso nimkar. I'm sorry. So here we go to the original price of 100, and we prorate based on the 100. We're not going to prorate on the 200. The Torah says mikesef miknaso. You factor the analysis is based on the original sale price. Okay. But then the Gemara says, well, let's go in the other direction. Nimkar b'masayim v'hichzif. Let's say at the time when you bought him, he was an Eved Ivri, was going for 200. And so you had to spend 200 to buy him. And now, v'aman amana. Now, I guess there was a flooding in the market of Eved Ivri, of Avadim. And now, if you want to get an Eved Ivri, so it's only 100. So now he wants to buy himself out. So does he have to buy himself out based on the prorated rate of the original purchase price of 200? Or no? Can he buy himself out now using the using 100 as the base price and prorated based on 100? And here the Braisa says 100, meaning on based on the current market value. Tam lamar kefi shanav, based on the years that are remaining from this point going forward. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Those two psukim that you just quoted, they're from Parshas Bahar, and more specifically, I was ready for this. And more specifically, they are coming from the parsha of someone being sold to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, so there I can understand Yadav Tachtonim. So the Torah is giving more favor to the Eved Ivri to make it easier for him to be redeemed. So the Gemara says, so fine, I understand that. But now, does this extend to all other scenarios of Eved Ivri? And the Gemara says, sure. Tamalam Sacher Sacher, L'Gzer Shava. So the Gemara says, absolutely. Because we know of the Gzer Shava. You remember in the very beginning of our sugya, a week ago, when we started the whole sugya back in Yudalam and Beis, so the Gemara says there's this Gzer Shava, and we looked almost an entire daf of finding the person who doesn't hold to the Gzer Shava. Meaning, most people hold to the Gzer Shava. What was the Gemara's conclusion? I think the Gemara ended up not finding somebody who didn't hold to the Gzer Shava. Anyway. So there's this Gzer Shava. The Torah, when giving a description of the Eved Ivri, continuously uses the term Sachir, which means that whether you're Nimkar Bebezdin, whether you sell yourself, whether you sell yourself to a Jew, whether you sell yourself to a non-Jew, in any one of these circumstances, the halacha is that we're always going to be Mekel in terms of redeeming him. If whatever's a lower price, the original market sale price or the current market sale price, whichever is the lesser of the two, is going to be used as the prorated rate in terms of his ability to redeem himself. Amar Abaye. Now, the question we have to ask is, the Torah is not clear about why. All we know from the Torah is the Torah has conflicting psukim. One pasuk talks about the original sale price, and another pasuk talks about the residual sale, his residual value. And what we did is that, not we, meaning you and I, but what the Gemara did is the Gemara made the executive decision of, well, whichever one is cheaper. The Torah never said that. We assume that, and the only question left to ask is, well, why are we assuming that? Meaning, it's intuitive, it's nice, it sounds great, meaning be makel on the Eved Ivri, but why? Why was it necessarily decided that we're going to be makel on the Eved Ivri? Amar Abaye. Harinik ben Azai b'shukei Tveria. I'm like ben Azai in the marketplace of Tveria. He uses this line a number of times in Shas. You can see on the side of the Gemara. We saw it most recently back in Sota. So I'm like ben Azai in the marketplace, meaning I have clarity of mind right now. And it's a good day, Abaye says. Okay, you know, sometimes you wake up a little bit cloudy, sometimes you wake up with clarity. So Abaye says, I woke up today, it's a really good day. I'm like Ben Azai. We know Ben Azai loved Torah. Ben Azai, the Gemara tells us, Ben Azai did not get married because of his love for Torah. He loved Torah so much that he could not find a place in his life, time for his life, for a wife. And the Rambam endorses such a position. He says that's fine. The Rambam. Yeah. Yeah, he says if your love for Torah is such, then you can do it. He says it's you know, he's not within two standard deviations of what is considered, you know, normal behavior, but I made up those numbers. But if a person is an outlier like that, so then that's fine. So Harenika Ben Azai B'Shukei Tveria. So I have the clarity of mind like Ben Azai. So ask me a question and I'll be able to answer it. So here we go. Question. We have psukim. One talks about the original sale price and one talks about the residual. And we could have gone either way. We could have said we should be makel on the eved ivri. We should. We could have said we should be machmir. So my chazus is the shina lekula, the shina lechumra. And so our question now is so simple. So who made the decision? Why did we make the decision that we should be makel to the eved ivri? We should be machmir. So lo sagadatchal. So lo sagadatchal. So Abai's answer is, well, there's no other alternative. This is the only way to think about it. Why? We know the Torah extends a tremendous amount of sympathy towards the eved ivri. Let's look at the following. Netanya, kitov lo imach. He turns to his owner. He says, "You know, you've been so good to me. Why? Why is he saying that?" So the Gemara understands that his reaction is based on the halachic imperative that the owner has to the eved ivri. Imach b'machal v'imach b'mishta. Whatever the owner is eating, that's dinner. And so the eved ivri is going to be joining them at the dinner table. You're going to be eating good bread and he's going to be eating bad bread. You're drinking the good wine and you're giving him the bad wine. You're sleeping on a mattress and he's on straw. So the Gemara says, all that to all that we say, no. You're going to treat him the same way you live. Your standard, excuse me. Your standard of living is going to be his standard of living. You get an eved ivri, you have acquired a master. Now, obviously not, you're the master, but kikona adon latzmo. In other words, you have to treat him the same way you're going to treat yourself. So from there, the Gemara now is deriving that, of course, when asked the question of how are we going to figure out his pigeon, are we going to be mekel or are we going to be machmer? Of course we're going to be mekel. Look how the Torah wants us to treat him. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second, I don't think that argument in of itself is so compelling. The Gemara says, we can differentiate when it comes to eating and drinking. So good. So we're going to be mekel. We don't want him to be uncomfortable while he's in a state of employment. But when it comes to pigeon, so we should be machmer. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why we should be machmer, because consider the following. We are about to start a long brisa. The point is going to be that he got himself into this position. Meaning, it's not just by accident that he's an eved ivri. It's as a result of his actions. And so basically what the Gemara now wants to make the argument, although we know the argument is not going to conclude this way, but the Gemara wants to make the argument, since he himself got himself into that position based on his own actions, let's not be so makel in terms of allowing him to go free. And so here we begin now a long brisa, basically just making the point, he's not here by accident. So, Ditanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinen, Omer, Barre, Kamakash, Avkosh, Shvius. Now, just one word of introduction before we start this long brisa. And that is, we're basically running through Parshas Bahar. Meaning, if you really want to appreciate the Gemara, I'm not going to do it now, but it's good to help you understand. You have to read through Parshas Bahar. Parshas Bahar, not that long a Parsha. And I don't really even mean the whole Parsha, I just really mean Perek Chaf Hei. You read through Perek Chaf Hei, and what you're going to understand is that there's a progression in going from one topic to another topic. And basically what the Gemara now is going to do is, if you follow the progression, you're going to see a person does this, he's going to end up doing this. A person does that, he's going to end up doing that. And so one thing leads to another, where it's going to get to the point where he's going to sell himself to slavery. And it'll get even worse than that. And that's basically what we're going to see as the Bryce is taking us through Parshas Bahar. So, Kamakash Afkel Shashia. So first we start off with Shemitah. So everyone understands now that every topic that we're doing is just basically the next Parsha in Parshas Bahar. I say Parsha, I mean section. So, Afkel Shashia. Look, people sell Per Shemitah. And you shouldn't do that. And, right, I'm going to say it, but I don't. Hopefully, I don't mean it as bitingly as I say it. You know, I sold Peyer Shmita this year, so it's a terrible admission. Hopefully, I didn't. You know, in other words, I did it with Otzer Beis Din, but I took the Esrogim this year and I sold them, even though they belong to Shmita. Okay, so I'm not hope. being a little crass in the way I'm presenting it, but anyway, you sell perish shvius. Adam nosev and osem beperish shvius. I'm sorry, Adam nosev and osem beperish shvius. L'sof machris matatalov. So what's going to happen is Akash Baruch Hu being unhappy with the way you're behaving. You're not allowed to sell perish shvius. You have to. The kedushas perish shvius demands that you eat it, but not sell it. You cannot turn it into a commercial enterprise, and if you do so, you're going to be Akash Baruch Hu is going to punish you, where you're going to be so poor, you're going to have to end up selling first your metaltalin. Okay, you're going to put all your property on eBay, or your movables on eBay. Shenemar b'shnas ayovel tashuva ish lachuzaso v'samechle v'chisim krumim karla misecha okano miyad misecha damar nikla miyad liyad. So you're going to sell your movables. Now lo hirgish l'sof mocher sadosav. Now, after having sold all your furniture on eBay, then what you're going to end up doing is you're going to have to end up selling your house. Again, because you have not recognized the fact that it's you were involved in the sale of Perish Shvius. Shenamar ki yamuch achicha umachra me'achuz aso. Now, lo bas liyado. Now, if at that point in time you still haven't recognized what you've done, so ashe nimkar is beso. You're going to end up selling your house. In other words, I'm sorry.
First
the fields, then the house. Shenamar ki yimkor bais moshav ir chama. Now, previously it said lo hirgish, you didn't recognize, and then here it says lo bas liado. Like you were like, it didn't even raise an eyebrow. Kidder avuna damar avuna, kevin shavar adam avera. Sorry, kevin shavar adam avera vishanaba hutra lo. Because it just basically, it speaks to human condition. You do an avera, you repeat doing an avera, it gets to the point where it's mutter. Now the Gemara says, mutter, what does that mean? Obviously it's not mutter, but what it means is, it's nasas lokehetter. Once you repeat an avera, so to you now it's no longer an avera. Of course it is, but that's just not how we... In other words, that's how we are. Now, the next step over here is, so far, what have you done? You sold your metaltin, you sold your sada, you sold your bias, and next you're going to sell your daughter. Now, mind you, as the Gemara itself is going to acknowledge in just a moment, that's not here in Parshas Bahar. The sale of the daughter is not mentioned in Parshas Bahar. The sale of the daughter is only mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim. The Gemara says, Shenamar v'chim kor ish es bito le'ama. Now the afagav, here the Gemara acknowledges, v'afagav debita lo k'siva behayinyana ha'kamashvala nizman inishbartev lo nizif b'revisei. So the Gemara says, now I know it's not here, but it's here. Meaning because the next thing coming up in the Parsha is borrowing money on with interest. And the Gemara says, a person would first sell his daughter rather than borrow money with interest. So just try this one at home tonight, right? Before you're swiping the credit card. So say, you know what? Let's make a better financial decision. Let's sell a daughter rather than take on any type of credit card debt. And the Gemara says, financially speaking, I know, emotionally, like, can you believe the words are coming out of my mouth? Financially, it makes perfect financial sense. Why? The Gemara says, my taima, barte migra v'nafka, v'ha musva v'azla. Again, just as a financial decision, it makes perfect sense. You sell your daughter, so she's going to work herself so that that when you redeem her, it's going to cost less than... Then when you sold her. So good. When you are borrowing with interest, so you know how it works. I mean, the credit card companies are brilliant. It works because basically the interest keeps getting compounded and compounded to the point where, you know, a $5 loan it now turns into whatever. It just keeps adding. Correct. So lo bas liado acha lo v'bribis. Now the next thing mentioned in Parshas Bahar is borrowing with interest. Shenemar v'chiyam uchechicha umateya doimach usmechle atikach mito. The Torah goes on to say, don't take interest because he's going to want to borrow with interest. Lo bas liado acha mocher satzmo. And then the next step along the way is that he's finally going to sell himself. Shenemar v'chiyam uchechicha v'nim kalach. And furthermore, she's not only going to sell him to a Jew, he's going to sell him to a non-Jew as well. We're not talking about a convert in the full sense of the word. We're talking about a resident alien who's living in Israel. And then the Torah goes one step further. And then he's going to be sold to Eker. What does that mean? He's going to be sold as an... Right? towards the service of Avodah Zarah. Okay. I'm going to breathe for just a moment. That is the end of the Braisa. So again, what we just learned together is that a person sold himself to a guy because of his averos. And so now what the Gemara is arguing to Abaye is, look, Abaye, you were making this huge argument that we should be makel because the Torah in general was makel towards them. And now the counter argument is, I don't know. In other words, it's his actions that caused him to get into this position, and he kept doing the Avera again and again, all the way to the point where he didn't even recognize that what he was doing was wrong, and finally he was sold to a non-Jew. I would say, no, let's on the treatment of the Eved Ivri, let's treat him right. On the redemption of the Eved Ivri, let's be machmir. Amarle, hasam ha ahadre kra. To which the Gemara responds, yeah, but there, the Torah itself was makel towards him. How do I know that? Debay Rabbi Yishmael, Hovalach Zev and Asik Komer Lavros Kochavim. Look where he's at right now in life. He's right now sold himself to a non-Jew, an idolatrous non-Jew. He's actually there in their temple, doing all the manual labor for Avodah Zarah. So you know what? Let's move on. Let's just throw a stone on him, meaning okay, cut our losses. So Tam Lomer Acharei Nimkar Gula Tielo Echad Me'echav Yigalenu. So the Gemara says no. The Torah says very clearly we still have to make an effort to try to redeem him and get him out of that position. So once again, the Gemara is still trying its best to argue now that since the Torah wants us to redeem him, so therefore, we're going to be makel in terms of setting the price. So the Gemara says, I still don't have a convincing argument. Yes, redeem him. We don't want him to be there amongst the Avodah Zarah. And yes, go through all lengths to redeem him. But that still doesn't speak to the idea that the price should be the lowest price. And the Gemara says, and we should be machmir. Because again, let's go back to the point that it's his actions that got him to this place to begin with. Amrav Nachmir, Yitzhak Trey Kreik Sive. So finally, right after Abaye gave a little bit of advertisement for himself, you know, he says, I'm like Benazai today. I have clarity of thought. Ask me anything, I can answer it. And so the question was, why are we being makel in terms of setting up the redemption price of the Eved Ivri? He tries to give an answer, and the Gemara doesn't love it. And so maybe one of the lessons today is under promise and over deliver. The Gemara says Ksiv. I'm sorry, Trey Kreik Sive. So let's start tomorrow. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So what we're going to see tomorrow is an answer to our question of how do we know? How do we know that when it comes to the Eved Ivri and setting up the pigeon price, if there is a distinction, a differentiation between the original price versus the current residual value, prorated current residual value, we go with the lower of the two. How do we know that? Meaning that is a halacha. But how do we know that? So the Gemara tomorrow is going to give an answer which eventually it will be more happy with than the one that was given by Abaye. And right, the Gemara says it makes no difference based on the Gzeresha.